We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. You know, I love radio. I grew up with radio, so radio is really part of my DNA was radio. So I love being on the air. And I have my guests
in the process of working throughout.
Minute, I just want to announce quickly that Mothers for Police Accountability will be having our community meeting on the 31st of May at the Liberty Bank apartment community room, and from 6 to 7:30. And I'll announce that again before the show is over. But I want to bring my lovely guest in. Her name is Miss Elisa Dasa. I met her through an untimely situation of sorrow. But I tell you, we have so much togetherness together. So I just want to bring on Miss Dasa. How you doing today, Elisa? How you doing?
Hello. I'm really excited to be here with you. I've had a crazy morning, and just chatting with you is already making me feel better.
Well, yeah, we're friends. We're friends.
Yes, we are.
Beyond the circumstances and the events. Had we met at the grocery store 10 years ago, we would be friends. So we have something that has brought us together. But just wanted to give you opportunity to come on. And I know that my listeners, some of them might know you and some of them might not. But also want to let them know that this will be available in podcasts after the show is over. But I just wanted to give you some time to come on and to talk about, you know, what has happened in your life here in the last couple of years and a few years, and that how it's been changed forever in one way, but also how you've grown in another way of allowing other people to be and to be with you. So I just want to give you some time to just talk about
it. Yeah. So for folks who don't know, my son, Connor Dasa Holland, was killed in front of our home in Rainier Beach, Mother's Day of 2020. He was attending the University of Washington at the time and was home because the dorms were closed at the UW due to COVID. And so he had been home since about March of 2020, and then ended up being killed just a couple months later. Yeah. So it was a big thing to have something so crazy and unexpected happen. That's kind of an understatement.
Yeah, it was a life-changing event that that rocked your world, your family's
our whole world. Yeah,
and all of his friends and the people who life that he had touched in his short time that he was on the planet in the body. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll help you out on that. I mean,
thank you.
My grandson knew him. I mean, because he calls himself Omi. Mm-hmm. And of course, he just graduated from Loyola on the 11th of this month. So they knew each other. And then I think my son Omi knew him through my grandson.
Yes.
And so we're connected through our children, and then Chikundi, already knew your husband, and so he was called immediately, and so this is we have been webbed together by this event, and I'm not gonna have you to go it by yourself, because we're here together, and
right.
You know, where you don't have words, I have words, because we've been there. I came right away.
Yes.
It was Mother's Day, and your son, you were healthcare, you were into public health, and your son took his last breath in your arms. He took his first breath also as he was coming to the world. So he took his first breath with his lovely mother. Mm-hmm. And this circumstance happened that he took his last breath with his lovely mother. So so you don't have to say that again in public for me ever again, because I understand that. And I understand what it is to have the first breath and the last breath as the mother. So, go ahead.
It changes things. It changes
it does.
How you parent. It changes the dynamic of your family.
Yes, it does.
And it changes your priorities as a whole personally, I think, just in your own life, separate of being a mom and being a wife and a friend, your whole person is different. That has been, I think, the biggest thing. The first year is such a blur. And the second year, you're really trying to figure out what happened the first year. And we just made it into year three. And now really just trying to figure out, we know what the reality is. Right. We know that he's not going to come through the door tomorrow.
Right.
We understand the impact that it's had on our other kids and on our family and on his friends. And so now it's trying to figure out, how do we live the life that we're given without this person with us? And so that's the path that we're on right now. And and not only trying to live for us, but continue living for him. So that hopefully one day when we see each other again, we'll have great stories to share.
And then for the other children, I mean, because and one of the things that I learned when my mother died when I was two, and my grandmother told me years later when I was grown, that she stopped living that day. And so her children, she had eight other children, so she wasn't present for her children. And I always remembered that, because most people know that my son is in spirit also. I always remembered that. And I said, wow. Because her sorrow was so deep, and so, it was 1948, of course, but her sorrow was so deep that she never, ever lived a life again. She worked and did all the things that was necessary, but she wasn't alive for other eight children, you know?
Right. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we as parents worry about when we look at everything that's happened over the last, 3 years. And not just us, but all of the other parents that have been affected, because the last 3 years in the city of Seattle have been pretty rough in terms of the murder rate.
It's been pretty rough, the murder rate. I mean, it is astronomical. It's off the chart. It is inhumane. It is insane. It is all of those things. And in the wake of all of that big splash, is all the mothers there treading water, trying to find their way.
Well, and the kids that are being affected by losing their friends at such a high rate at such a young age. We don't know for sure what that impact is going to be down the line. We can only go based on what we know from historical situations. And there's a lot of people doing a lot of great work in the community, right? There's lots of organizations that are really doing everything they can to help. And I mean, that has definitely quieted our neighborhood down on some level over the last couple of years, but there's so much more, that people are dealing with so much more that we can do to help or just try, not so much help, but just try to level out the stress and anxiety the that gets put on people. You know, there was a shooting at Stan Sayers at Mount Baker at the Pits last week. And my oldest son happens to be a coach at Mount Baker Rowing. So
Chikundi, my grandson is with that rowing team, I believe.
Yes, he is.
Chikundi Tall. I don't call him Lil Cun. call it in his dad.
Well, and he does row on the boys team there. And my son is the coach of the girls team. Yes. And we saw that come up and we were calling him immediately. And unfortunately, that's one of the outcomes of what's happened is that, you know, we hear these things are happening and we're on the phone with all of our older kids who are in their mid to late 20s to make sure that they're okay. And, you know, you don't want to be that crazy parent that shows up at their job to make sure they're okay because they're not answering their phones. But that's something that we all think about, whether we lose a child or not.
That's right.
If your kid is somewhere and that happens, or if you're at home and you hear gunshots and your child is out, you know, the things that are running through your mind are unstoppable.
Right. And that's so true. It really is. And that's why it takes a lot of courage to keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a tremendous amount of what you didn't know you had, not specifically to you, but from others. They know that they had. Now, they know they had the stamina and strength to have a baby because it ain't easy. Let's be real.
Right.
And sometimes you just say, come on, I'm going to have this baby now. I'm tired. Let's go.
Yeah. Right.
But then for this event, and this part of your life is another kind of courage and another kind of strength to put your feet on the floor, to talk to people. And in your case, not even having any leads or anything like that. And your case is not the only case, you know, that has been going on. But I want to take a little break here because I want to play a little bit of music and come back and just let you be in Mother's Justice living room, okay?
All right,
we'll take a break. You listen to the Mother's Justice show and we'll be right back.
With my mind stayed on freedom. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for Wisdom and Wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Colorectal cancer doesn't stop for COVID-19. Hello, I'm Dr. Cecilia Brewington. If you are age 45 or older, it's time to return to care and get tested. The government requires insurance companies to cover not only colonoscopy, but a range of tests, including virtual colonoscopy and other less invasive exams. Talk to your doctor about your options today. For more information on virtual colonoscopy, visit radiologyinfo.org.
Hi, this is Dr. K. Mahina Intron, inviting you to tune in on Mondays on 1150 KKNW at 5 p.m. to Dr. K's Attuning to Your Abundance, where we honor everyday abundance through positive messages, poetry, music, affirmations, and writing exercises. For more information, contact drkworkshops@gmail.com or Facebook Dr. K's Abundance.
Talk radio for the heart and soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show at 1150 a.m. KKNW. And it's my joy to be on the air. I love radio. Like I said, I love radio. And I love that song. That's one of my freedom anthems, Miss Dasa, Elisa. I play that song when I need energy to know that the battle, that I'm not on this journey by myself. I woke up this morning with my mind set on freedom. And so
yes. It's a good way to wake up.
It is, you know, and I used to have my children singing it, you know, I mean, because sometimes life is so hard that you have to pretend like it's easy.
Yeah, I mean, so, there are days where getting up and taking a shower and continuing to breathe feels hard.
Yes. And I know that I'm there's no leads in your case. Is that right? I mean, in no. SPD, I mean, because all of this happened during this time when the police department, when people, you know, all the loud voices defund the police. And so it's not enough. And a lot of them left, and some of them should have left. But it left Seattle in a bad place. And it looks like all the people who want to harm one another are coming to Seattle.
Yeah,
because you could just say nobody's coming after you because there's not enough. It's not enough law enforcement who actually might want to solve them. I might want to do something. And then they say, if these people just want to harm themselves, let them. I mean, you know, you got all this stuff going. But I don't want to take too much from my voice listening. I want to, you know, let your voice be out there. You know,
but I think historically, when you look at neighborhoods like ours and neighborhoods like yours and, you know, across the country, not just here, but when you just said, oh, those people want to harm themselves, let them go ahead and do it.
Right.
There's not a lot of buy-in or reasons that they believe they should save neighborhoods like ours.
That's right. Exactly.
And that's a really sad place to be.
Right.
It's a really sad place when you see all these men, and I say men, but they're really still boys between 18 and 24. I have three of those, you know?
Right.
And when we're seeing them lose their lives at the rate that they are in comparison to other areas,
that's right.
There's something so overwhelmingly, it's overwhelmingly sad. And I mean, tragic feels like a big word, but it is. It's, right. You know, we're losing these men, these boys who have gifts that they right. haven't even had a chance to share
right.
yet.
Right.
And they have these bright lights that are right. suddenly gone. And right. it just shows because right. all the dark is coming out.
Right.
And everyone that talked about defunding the police, I right. find that really interesting because when you talk about things like that, you get in a situation where something bad happens to you, and then who do you call?
Right.
Who are you going to call on your worst day?
That's right.
And while, yes, I agree, there are definitely some officers that left and should have left, and probably some others that should have left along with them but didn't, there are also officers that go out of their way to try to serve.
That's right.
And we need to give them the credit that where credit is due.
Right.
You know, I will say we had one detective who retired in December and he communicated with me on a regular basis.
Right.
And yes, there were no leads, but at least I knew what was going on. And he would call me back and let me know if things come up or whatever. The new experience that I've had has been a little different. Communication hasn't been exactly stellar. And that's something that we're working on. I have done, you know, as you have too, we've been in lots of spaces with Chief Diaz and we've done lots of community events with him.
Right.
And I think that he's really doing everything he can to try to make things better, not just in the department itself, but for the families that are affected by murder and other crimes.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a hard, you know, when I start using the word murder instead of killing, I mean, it makes a difference because we're so used to saying killing, but it really is murder sounds so different. And your son was murdered. I mean, and that type of stuff. So I think so, but you know, and all of this, we have accepted a culture of death in the last 30 years.
Yes, we have.
I mean, it has been programmed. I mean, all the movies and stuff, and you know, all the things about killing. I can remember now. We got Rambo going into schools. I mean, because Hollywood is a projector of things to come. I mean, it really is. I mean, I am like the birth of a nation with the Ku Klux Klan. It is the greatest social engineering tool in the world. I mean, and I mean, even when the radio was on, one of my sons says, "Well, Mama, when the radio was on and they had Amos and Andy, you didn't get a visual." I said, "But when it came on the television and people got a visual, then people, you know, the stereotypes grows more and more." And it's been over 30 years now that we've been living in a culture of death. And we look at all the children who have died at the time I started doing this work. I mean, it's like the war came home to America.
Yeah.
And you don't know who the real enemies are. I mean, you know, it's like the children have been programmed in social engineering to absolutely pick up guns when it is opportunity. It's always been opportunity. I mean, we had to fight for opportunity, but right. Seattle has always had some form of opportunity for Black people. I mean, for other people too. I mean, and also, you know, Seattle is a place where you find a lot of people, in mixed relationships and all of that. I mean, it's a different kind of place here, levels. But the culture of death is all over America. If it's not in the classrooms, it's in the streets. See?
Right.
Well, in the grocery stores, in the post office, even in the doctor's office. I think some doctor's offices have been shot up and all of this thing.
Yeah. See? I wonder too, if one of the things that I think it will be really interesting to see 30 years from now is the impacts of social media
right.
on kids.
Right, right.
Because kids spend so much time at home now playing video games or social media.
On social media.
I think that there is a disconnect in reading social cues and social emotional
cues. That's right,
cues.
Exactly.
And so I think when kids are out in public, unless it's something that they've really had at home, understanding people's emotional reaction to the things that they say or do is not something that these kids are well versed in.
No.
And I say this, I have an 11-year-old at home still. We have kids in their mid to late 20s, but we also have someone who's 11, and it's a very different world to watch them interact with their friends than it is to watch our older kids.
Right.
And it seems like that's been the biggest parenting change or change since I've been a parent, is that introduction to social media and the ability to hide behind a screen, which
that's right. But
so
also
when they say and do hurtful things, they can't see how that's affecting people.
That's right. And I know that I had a news commentator, Taylor, to tweet something out about me that wasn't true. And by the time we figured it out and had to make that person do a retraction, I got a full understanding how these young people feel. I mean, because I have kids in social media, so we were able to fix this. But I didn't know it right away. But the other children, and then it's so much isolation in the homes that the parents, the children by themselves, and then the parents go in and find that the child is taking their own life. And I mean, I guess my kids would always be mad at me about the social media because I understand what it's doing to the brain. See, most parents don't understand how it's affecting the children's brain. And what would it be like? I mean, will they be? I mean, with the artificial intelligence that can take our voice and go create something that we don't know about? I mean, so we will be living in a really different world. But you know, one thing that I do always believe, I always believe in hope. I always believe in the fact that there is a higher power. I mean, I'm not going to give in to none of this social engineering. I'm not going to give in to all of this stuff that I know that down the road is going to create young people who won't be able to function. And the more people who don't function, well, the more control they have over people. I mean, the governments of the world is doing something because they want to do this. See?
Right.
It's all about control. But I think we, the people, have to stand up and say, you know, no, you know, we have to have our own boundaries. And amazingly, you know, people who create technology, their kids is not on it. They limit it to 15 minutes a day.
Right.
Okay, so if people who create technology limit technology for their own children, well, then that's whenever I hear them say that, I say, okay, I'm going to put this in my, you know, and let my people know that these people are marketing something that they don't believe in.
Right.
You know, don't believe in. But I'm hopeful. And I'm hopeful that this is still an open case. I'm hopeful that, like I told Tyrone's loved mom, who passed away after he got murdered, I said, Alberta, we will not forget about your son. We will not forget. And we know that lots of people in Seattle know who the murderers are. Right. Lots of people are okay with murderers being next to them in the grocery store and at the bus stop. I'm not okay with that. No. Not okay.
No.
I'm not okay. I'm just not okay with that. So anyway, I just wanted to give you a chance to come on and to know that you have support from my family and from the work we're doing in the community. And you know, because of this, you know, we're wedding our issues together. You can no longer be concerned about police violence and not being concerned about the escalating violence in the Black community. I think long as we were programmed to look one way and never look at how we're harming ourselves, it's why we have so much violence and escalation in our community. We have to walk a parallel track.
That's right.
In order to get the work done. We cannot only be in these little silos anymore. It's not going to work. It harms our community. And it harms the world.
Yeah. And we have to be willing to love people who sometimes other people wouldn't love.
Right. Yeah. You know, and that's why when I came to your house and I said, oh, this is a Baha'i family. Because it's just, I said, oh, this family is so loving. I've gone into many homes and, you know, and I've studied with many people except the Ku Klux Klan and the Down Birth Society. But, and the Proud Boy, those people. And I said, oh my God, such a loving family. So I'm so glad that you could come on and we will continue to love and continue to work together. Appreciate you.
We'll talk soon.
We sure will. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden, and we'll be right back. I have my next guest to bring on.
When the night has come and the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for Wisdom and Wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Did you know if you're an adult living with asthma or COPD, getting sick with pertussis may result in severe complications? Pertussis, or whooping cough, is a serious respiratory illness. Vaccination is the best way to help protect against pertussis. Speak to your healthcare provider to ensure you are up to date on your Tdap vaccination. Learn more at lung.org.
Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis is back, with Robin once again doing free live on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on KKNW 1150. Make an appointment to join spiritual healer and premier past life reader Robin Alexis live once again for your free on-air readings. Listen and call in Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific for world-renowned spiritual healer Robin Alexis. A free on-air reading with Robin can change your life.
Alternative Talk 1150.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. I want to remind you, you all can please listen to the podcast and subscribe to that. Also, I want to bring my next guest in. I love that song because it reminds me of stand by each other. I mean, so we're each other's darling on what we might be facing here in America. So standing by, getting people ready to stand by each other. How you doing, Miss Oliver Francis? How you doing?
I'm doing good, Harriet, doing very good. Thank you.
Well, I brought you on because we share something great in common. We grew up in the same community. Our parents knew one another. We went to the same illustrious schools together. we wedded to Seminole County in the Florida. So I just want to get you in here briefly. Next month, I'll bring you on again to talk about the governor. He's not my governor, and not, you know, the governor. So let's talk about the governor.
Well, Harriet, I'm gonna tell you, he's not my governor either. And as far as the blacks in Florida, he's not their governor either.
Nope.
And if you've been listening to, if you've been keeping up with the news in the last couple of days, Florida NAACP put out advisory, travel advisory news press. And they also, Derek Johnson from the National NAACP picked it up. So it's been on national news all day today about the travel advisory that was issued by Florida NAACP. So I know there are a lot of people, because I hear a lot of radios, I listen to radio early in the morning, say, asking, what are we doing in Florida? When I say we, I'm talking about the black people. What are the black people doing in Florida?
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering, too, because when I heard that he was coming after the Divine Nine, I mean, you know, the...
That was about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Right.
Right.
And I thought Crump, Benjamin Crump and some other people was talking about that. But in his mind, they already got the poor people locked down. I mean, locked up, black people, they're locked out. And so now let's take the economic, let's go after the people who, the higher educated people. And I was hoping that Florida educated people was going to do a massive pushback. That's what I was hoping. And maybe they still might do a massive pushback, but they better hurry up and start doing a massive pushback.
Well, they can't get too massive because we're not that big in Florida. The black population, you know, we're only about 13% of the population in the state of Florida. So we need help from blacks all around the United States. We need everybody to come in and help us. We need Washington State, Washington, D.C., New York, because we're just not that. That's a powerful group coming against a little bit. And that's why he chose that group. Now, if we could come together with the LGBTQ community, that would help us out a whole lot. And they are coming in with us, the Latin community coming in with us.
The Latin community, who always stood as the cheese stands alone, do they understand what time it is now?
I hope they do. They're mentioning that advisory advertisement that went out yesterday. And today, they're listed in there.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was just single. I thought we just got isolated out. I mean, just, I need to get more information about it. But the goal is to get us, because, see, we're in the Constitution. And that's what people got to understand. Now, I mean, that's what they want to overturn, is that piece. That's why they overturned Roe v. Wade as case law for 40 years. I mean, because really, they don't care anything about black babies being aborted anyway. So, you know, if all those babies was black, Roe v. Wade would not have been overturned. But it was several law, and they wanted to upset several laws. So when they try to go back to Brown versus the Board of Education, which would actually put us back in the Percy versus Ferguson, a black man don't have no rights that a white man have to adhere to. That would be really unsettled law, because that's over 100 years ago.
But you know, Harriet, these times that we in now, where we feel like they are that. Stay in the state of Florida, where blacks in the state of Florida feel like they're trying to send us to Jim Crow. Do you know that this debt ceiling thing will hurt us as a black nation? If they don't come to some agreement on that, blacks will be hurt worse than any other group if that debt ceiling thing don't go through.
Well, maybe they know that, and maybe that's what they want to happen. But you know what, Francis, and all of my thing here, and that's why I like to play some of these old songs, is that, especially I woke up this morning with freedom on my mind, is that we have been here before. We have. I mean, we had 300 years of bondage, and we had 100 years of Jim Crow. So we have been here before. We have lived where they gave us nothing. I mean, we had the and that's why when we came into the 1900s, when the turn of the century, the 1900s, when your parents was born and my, you know, when we came along, we had more skills than anybody else in America because we had to do it with our hands. And then when we came into the 2000s, we had less skills because number one, you know, a lot of things has happened. But I believe in my heart, and I can be wrong, we have the DNA of the imprint of making it through hard times in America. And we have that. We have that because it's a part of our DNA. We're not the same DNA that we was when we when our ancestors came. We've gone through this before. And I think that most of the people who are actually behind these people, they just got to America. We've been here before the Civil War.
Yes, but Harriet, during Reconstruction, we had it all. We were in the center. We had it all.
Well,
and
yeah.
Then from us then, and they're trying to take it away from
us.
Well,
this is the end of the second Reconstruction. That's what that is, and that's that's how I see it. I say hell it lasts. I say heck it lasted a lot longer. That's this time.
They see Reconstruction coming back again. They see it. Well, and they're going to try to stop it any way they can.
But also, they would rather ruin the country than make sure that another Black person never be president.
Why they are so far out there against Kamala Harris. Because they know if Biden runs, Kamala Harris going to be with him, and they're going to do all they can to keep Biden from winning. And we as Black folks got to realize this. Because if there is going to be a Republican run against Joe Biden, I hope it's not Trump and I hope it's not DeSantis. I'm hoping it be Liz Cheney.
Well, she's a dark horse, but sometimes the dark horse comes through.
I'd rather have that dark horse than
could be like the dark horse could be like Eisenhower. I mean, Eisenhower was the last real Republican. I mean, because he taxed the rich. He taxed the Republicans. He taxed the rich. They had to pay 50% of their income in taxes. And then Reagan moved it to the working class people. See, so he, you know, and he also said that if we weren't careful, we'd always be in all these wars, and that the people who made all the weapons would be running things, is what he said. See. You know? Yeah.
All I'm asking the American people to do is to not make DeSantis president of the United States. And I don't think that's going to happen. But I think in Florida, we can stop DeSantis right here in Florida. But we need help to stop DeSantis.
Well, you know what, Francis? I mean, I hope when we talk again, you can have a whole thing, a list of how people can help. Number one, they can help by not spending their money.
Number one, you. All y'all radio announcers, all y'all TV people, play us up. Talk about us. Let us talk on your shows about how we're being treated. Let us talk on your shows about one that DeSantis passed a couple of weeks ago that nobody's talking about at the ballot box. Nobody's talking about that one.
Well, that's right then. So hey, that's why I'm gonna have you on there. I'm gonna have you on often. I'm gonna have my cousins on, my family in Tampa. You know, because she's in the.
And if you know any other radio announcers that would bring us on, that doesn't have to be me. It could be my NAACP president. We got to get the word out there.
Okay, well, you know what? I will also talk to my my you know, my son has a they have a media platform, and I can talk to some of those young people. But we got to get the young people because they got all kinds of platforms, you know. I mean, what about Roland Martin? I mean, have anybody reached out to Roland?
No, I plan to reach out to Roland Martin. I plan to reach out to Jamal, what is his name? Jamal Bryant.
Okay.
Jamal Bryant, I plan to reach. We've already reached out to Al Sharpton. I plan to reach out.
No. But I was getting ready to say, you know, the major channels like CNN and MSNBC and all of those, they could have stopped Trump in 2016, but they didn't. So now they can have another opportunity to be talking about something. So, I mean, reaching out to those stations.
But they pick up their clues from y'all, Harry.
Okay, well then you know what? Well, that's fine. It's another show on here called The Urban Forum with Eddie Wright. His daughter is Angela Wright. She was on CNN at one time. So okay. You know, and so I can see, I can ask him, I can go on his show. I see if I could be on the show on Wednesday. He comes on Thursday and at the same time that I'm in the same market. He has friends all over the country.
You know, one time we used to do in the 60s, we had depend on the preachers. And the churches.
Well, the churches. No, they're so in the Megaville.
On the media people, the black people that spreading that word by media.
Well, you know what? And also, we still got the black press. I mean, Seattle has a black radio station and the medium, I mean, the newspaper. So also, there's the Chicago Defender still going. And then that there's the Amsterdam News there. That do a lot there in New York City. So So there are some places to work because you know, the black press is what got us through this. The black press showed Emmett Till new picture. I mean, in Jet
that's
magazine.
Right, that's right.
I mean, because we had no access before. It was the black press, and so you know, that's my commitment. My commitment is to getting you on often, and I got family that got Walden's down in Tampa, I got Levine's in Jacksonville, so I got a whole host of friends and family in Florida, and all up and down the East Coast. So yeah, we will mothers will have you on this show, somebody from Florida on often because that's really. Right. Because the revival of our people has to begin in Florida and then connect with Tennessee. Because if we get Tennessee and Florida involved on the revival and the stopping this stuff, because those young people there in Tennessee and Nashville, those two Justins, they on to something. I mean, and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I Francis, you said, oh, I'm going home. You know, I'm not doing. Oh, I just like the Lord done touched old Francis here who walked it, who used to organize. I mean, you know, you're getting that spirit of youth coming back, you know, and you can see the people who came before us. I mean, you know, Francis, we do this because people who came before us never gave up, Francis.
They never gave up.
That's why we keep at it.
And I had said that once I turned 80 years old, I'm going to be in my garden. I'm not going to worry about politics. I'm not going to worry. But I've been on the phone all morning fussing with everybody about what y'all doing, what y'all doing, you know?
Well, because Francis, you know, Creator has allowed us to still be here for a reason. I mean, because if everybody died at 45, it would be no wisdom on the planet. Hello. Hallelujah. Hello.
That's right.
And some people say, well, y'all ought to go sit down. Well, for what? I mean, I don't need a rocket.
If we go sit down, they're going to fall apart.
I'm telling you, because they already tired from the George Floyd. Okay, we didn't had Emmett Till. We didn't had all this stuff, you know. I mean, and my grandmother, like I say, our parents was we were raised with guns in the home, Francis. Okay,
That's right.
And we were obedient. We never played with them. We never touched those guns unless you went up to Alabama, so you learned how to use a gun up in Alabama with your people on your property on them 100 acres y'all got up in Alabama.
but you know we get tired and things look like they look bad for Florida. Things look bad for the black people in Florida because like I said, we only about 13% of the population in the state of Florida, and wow. this man is running over that. He's using our weakness you're strong in numbers and we're not strong in numbers.
Well, we're not strong in numbers, but we still got a mighty Lord. And some of those who
and the Lord is sending people like you.
But we also know we got a mighty number in prison that they should not be in prison because they shouldn't have did whatever was going on. So Florida is not not down in population. They just not all able to organize. They don't have a lot of freedom, probably. You go. I don't know how many people are incarcerated in Florida, but I can bet
I bet
the black numbers is more than 13%. Okay.
Oh yes. Okay. It's about 70%.
Okay, so now we could, you know, they might not be able to vote, but they could talk to their people on the outside. So now we need to send somebody in there like Malcolm X and say, hey, y'all see your error in your ways now, so let's get it together. Well, Francis, you know what? It's amazing that we have the energy. I mean, it's amazing that we have the energy and our mind is still there. We know what lift every voice sings mean. We understand what it is to be on the battlefield. I mean, we understand.
But here's the thing. They're using all the kind of slingshots to shoot us down.
That's like okay. We're Goliath, man. I mean, we're David.
David better get his slingshot together.
We're David.
We're up against some giants.
Well, no, you know what? But the Bible is full of giants. Okay, you know, I'm going to fall back on the word, man, because I mean, we've had giants before. What do you think those posses was out there running after?
I believe in prayer too, but faith without works are dead.
Well, you know what? But see, you know what? I believe right now that there's a spirit right now waiting. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door is knocked." Okay, he's knocking at the door. We just say, "Come on." One with God is a majority. Don't you know that?
That Republican trying to push that other end of that door.
Oh, but you
and
know
they
what?
Don't,
but
they don't even believe in God.
But that Republican don't make the sun come up, baby. That Republican don't do nothing.
Right now, he's standing in the way of our Medicare, our Pell Grants, our veterans benefits, SNAP.
Oh, well, you know what? All of that, I hear that. But I do know, Francis, I know for a fact, without a shadow of a doubt, that there's another power. I don't give these people no credit. I don't give them no credit because I don't give them no credit. I don't give them no power because there's a power behind him. He could be not here tomorrow. Who knows? I mean, we can call on Harriet Tubman. She used to pray for people. What happened? I mean, hey, we got it in our history. We got it in our DNA.
Harriet Tubman also had a gun with her too.
Well, yeah, but she used it. She used it for folks who wanted to go back.
And we're in the same boat Harriet Tubman is. She said she could have freed more blacks if they just only knew they were slaves.
Well, see, you know what's happening right now? They're gonna know it. Because one thing about it, these people are intent of showing us every bit of how much they hate us. And you know what? Let that happen. Why not? I mean, let this stuff come on out. Let the world see again that they're the same people who wanted to insist. I mean, really and truly. I mean, really. And they will show themselves because they don't have enough sense not to show themselves. I mean, they don't have enough sense not to be.
Who could be any dumber than DeSantis?
That's right.
I mean, he went so far on the right until he hung himself.
Well, but then,
how
but
dumb
see,
is that?
But then that's how we know we got a mighty God. That's how we know we got a mighty God. Listen, friends, I'm going to take a break now. I have to say goodbye to you, but we're on this together, and I'll have you back on really soon, okay?
Okay,
and we're
going to
continue, and I'll make a whole list of things I can do because I'm a Floridian. I'm a Florida girl, okay?
I know. And I really enjoyed your show. I really enjoyed your conversation.
All right. Thank you. I'll be in touch, okay? All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show at 1150 a.m. KKNW. I'm your host. I'll be right back. Thank you.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for wisdom and wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
What's one of your favorite memories?
Let's see. Well, there was this one time I went snorkeling in the Caribbean when I was a kid. It really just blew my mind. I mean, when you're sitting on the beach, it's so peaceful and you sort of forget there's a whole other world under there, just full of all kinds of life. We saw the most beautiful corals. I remember thinking they were waving at us as they moved with the ocean. And then there were all these amazing fish. They kind of reminded me of tropical birds. They were so bright and colorful, just darting all over the place like birds in the sky. I'll never forget it. It completely changed the way I look at the ocean.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Multicultural, multidimensional even. Alternative Talk 1150.
Oh, good afternoon. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show at 1150 a.m. KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. And no, we shall not be removed. We shall stand. Francis and I, we love one another. And so we will stand. And I just wanted to say we're going to be talking about this issue in Florida because Florida it was a slave state. And we had the same, you know, they played the Confederate flag. They played, way down the Dixie. They had the Confederate flags up. We had to sing the song, the Florida song was way down upon the Suwannee River. They were pining that the slaves was gone. They wanted to go back way down upon the Suwannee River. Florida's had a lot of atrocities, and this governor wants to continue that. But we shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. So I just wanted to give, after that, with Francis, I just want to say we should not be moved. Also, I wanted to have, we have some remembrance this week that I wanted to talk about. On the 15th of May, last year, the shooting at the Buffalo at the grocery store, 10 people were killed and 3 wounded. I think the oldest person was in the 80s. And they just went to get grocery. They weren't bothering anybody. And this young man, he did plead guilty. I mean, so it was not a trial. So I think I don't know if he was sentenced yet, but he did plead guilty in that case. And of course, the nation will probably be remembering, especially the Black community, May 25th. That was the day that George Floyd was murdered in daylight. I mean, it was almost 9 minutes that people watched the officer there killed him, and it was not television. It was not a movie everybody was going to be living in the next segment or the next time you see him on screen. So anyway, I want to remember that. But also, I want us to no matter where we at in our thinking in our life. For me, there's always hope. I mean, I will never be to the place where I don't believe anything else other than that. And I want us, to be mindful that life is still good. In the midst of suffering, God is. We are never alone. In the midst of all that is happening in the world, there is a presence and a principle and a life that is forever with us. And the more we wake up to that, the more we wake up to knowing that who we are in spirit, who we know, who we are, that we get the strength to move through these dark days, that man has created these dark days. And we remember that it was 9 minutes that the world watched a person, Mr. Floyd, be murdered. And because of COVID, people really got this. And it was a lot of organizing around police accountability and people calling in the questions. And a lot of people around police departments, a lot of officers left. Some of them officers should have gone on to someplace else and that type of thing. So as I told Francis, we don't go home. I mean, we stay out here because of our ancestors. We owe it to the people who suffered, never had running water in their homes, never voted, never had any convenience. We owe it to them and to the children unborn to continue to do the work for justice. We need to, we owe it to generations unborn and to the shoulders that we stand on. And in that thing, and in that regard, I'm asking the community to come out to Mother's Meeting. It's going to be on the 20th, it's actually the 31st, the last Wednesday of this month. At the Liberty Bank apartment building there, the community room from 6 to 7:30. And our guest is going to be Attorney Vonda Sargent. She has a really important case that we're going to talk about that she won. And also, she was the attorney that helped Mr. Wingate case. He was 70 years old, 71 years old, walking down the street with his golf cane, and using that as a cane, and he got arrested and charged with a crime. And she was able to come to that, to actually work on that case and get those charges dropped for him. He was in his 70s, had never been arrested in his life. And he came out of segregation. So he knew that, that this was something that he could lose his life in, even at his age. The police officers was eventually fired. They bought out a contract, and so she left. She didn't leave SPD poor. She left with some money. So anyway, I wanted to let you know that because Monday is a holiday. I won't be on air. I will probably be on to see Mr. Rye if I can be on his show on Thursday to announce our meeting again. It's Mother's Meeting on May 31st at Liberty Bank Building, community room, 1405 24th Avenue. See you there. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. Guess what? I'm your host, Reverend Walden. I see you in 2 weeks. Have a great holiday. Thank you.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.